This is CliffCentral.com.
Oh, man. What a great song. I tell you what, I would go to see this concert just for that song. I mean it.
I'm keen.
It'd be that much fun. And there won't be any cursed millennials there.
Oh, wow. What do they ever do to you? Because they'll just stand at that concert, not even engaging, but recording tons of footage.
Yeah, they'll just and be, Insta they'll, stories. No, they'll be Instaing the hell out of it.
I don't know who this is on the stage, but it's like great lighting for my Insta.
But when Take On Me comes up.
Exactly. They got between now and February to somehow resurrect the aha.
It's like is that when it's next year?
15th of Feb. 2020.
Yeah. Oh, I've got to play this for you quickly because this is just an unplugged version of that. You know, sometimes we do these music things on the show. It's not often, but it's...
And is this more recent, obviously?
This was actually recorded in... Let me just tell you. Oh, God. 2017. He's still got the voice.
He's still got the looks.
No, yeah, but you would. You'd do him.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Yes, you would.
Cool.
You'd even share a toothbrush with
him. Oh, yeah. Oh.
Find you shying away.
Still got it. Listen.
I'll be coming for your love, okay? And take on me.
I love this version.
Take me on. I'll be.
Happily takes that note down instead of up. Yeah. But he's from Norway, so he doesn't age.
Mm-mm.
Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, so that's aha. Sia doesn't know any of their other songs, so I thought I'd just give you a little retrospective. Ooh, yeah. Have you ever heard Hunting High and Low, Sia? No? All right, let's give you a little taste here of some of these songs.
Here I am, and within the reach of my hand, sees sound.
You don't know this?
No.
All right, that's probably not one of their better known ones.
Living
Daylights, that's what Ben mentioned earlier on. You want to get into that one quickly? Let's do the Living Daylights. And this, of course,
that was the James Bond one.
Correct. And these guys are one of the few bands in the world who did a James Bond song.
But this and also is... Stay on These Roads.
Yes, that's a beautiful song. Very nice song. No, it didn't go like that. I'll help you with it. Stay on These Roads.
That just made me even more confused.
Ben knows this one.
Hey, try.
Like 1980s James Bond.
Da-da-da, comes the morning and the headlights fade away.
Beautiful.
100,000
this one, which Leanne just mentioned now.
Wow.
It's quite a big deal for them. This one is Stay on These Roads. Da-da-da.
They were quite epic songs.
Yeah. Very big. But beautifully written. I mean, like, really good songs. Let me just go to the chorus on this one. Very big songs. This one's also quite well known. A lot of people, this became a big hit for them as well. Sun Always Shines on TV. You probably know this, yeah, I'm sure you
do. Yeah.
No?
How can it be?
There we go.
Believe me, the sun always shines on TV.
Great, we're now adding aha to Sia's repertoire of butchery.
I'm joking, I just googled the lyrics.
Oh. Morton Harkness had 5 kids.
Did he?
5
I'm not
kids?
Surprised it was only 5. Okay. What a song.
These are quite sensual lyrics.
Yes. Very exciting for the 80s, you know, when people didn't even mention the word sex.
But you didn't have to mention the word when the lyrics are, I reached inside myself and found nothing there to ease the pressure of my ever-warring mind.
All right, very good. This was, there are only 2 other real big hits.
What's this?
It's called Touchy. You've never heard this, right? Very 80s. Let me go to the chorus. You know this one, right, Leanne? Leanne was a big aha fan. Who knew?
Huge, yeah.
And then one last one.
I'm touchy. Is that the name of the song?
Me, I'm touchy.
I'm touchy, touchy you.
Yes.
Well, in the 80s, it was fine. Try to release that song now.
And you know what to do.
R. Kelly tried to cover that one. It'd be quite interesting.
This is beautiful. I love this one. This is great. It's called Crying in the Rain.
I'll never let you see the way my broken heart is hurting me. I've got my pride and I know how to hide all my sorrow.
Kind of smart to cry in the rain.
Yeah, it is. No one knows
you're crying.
Right. And let's not forget the guitarist's name is Paul Vaktar Savoy.
We've already forgotten.
And the keyboardist is Magna Furholmen.
You know, they could bring a totally different guitarist and keyboard dude out here with Morton Harkett and February, and no one will know.
Sure. Yeah, they can pick up some guy in a greenside bar prior to the gig, give him 200 bucks.
That's exactly right. All right, so much to get into. I do want to introduce you to a longtime listener of ours and a fan. We sometimes bring people in, and Unati Mtangani is our guest this morning. Hey, Unati, how are you? You good? You good?
Atman,
you good?
Thanks so much to having me here in the studio with the guys.
That's all right. If you shut up, we can let you stay. All right, very nice. So we're going to get into some news this morning, but I thought we'd just quickly tell you a little bit about Unati. You're born and bred in Soweto, right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. You were raised by your grandparents and your aunts. Your mom had to leave to study nursing so that she could get a better future for you. I hope you're grateful for that.
I am very much grateful.
Good.
God.
You're going to look after your mother in return.
Yeah.
Yes. And you say you should be an Olympic cyclist.
Yeah, because my dad only bought me bicycles. That was his way of showing support. I don't know what he had in mind.
He did something.
Yeah, he did, but that's not much. Come on.
All right, so you're 28 years old. You, your alias online is SA's Urban Monk, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
But you're not religious?
Nah, not really.
So why do you call yourself an urban monk?
I believe, I do believe in monk and Buddhism, but I don't want to follow it directly.
Okay.
I think the urban part of it should rather, you know, take away from the description of being a religious. So rather make it something else.
It's like you live in an urban environment. You have a different kind of spirituality.
Yeah, 100%.
Namaste.
Right, very good. Yeah, namaste. You just you touched a nerve with Sia there, who of course thinks he's very spiritual, even though he isn't. Yeah. All right. What's your day job?
Day job, I'm currently a marketing agent at Lancet.
Oh, I was there yesterday. Well, I was at one of your Lancet branches yesterday. I have to give a blood sample for life insurance.
Oh,
you do that a lot, Sam. Do people just not like believe you when you fill in a form? Are you forever doing these tests?
Do I do it a lot?
Often.
Huh. Yeah. I'm having these tests done that are going to tell me. By the way, I did these DNA analysis tests the other day, which are very interesting. Apparently, I don't have any likelihood of developing Parkinson's or Alzheimer's.
Okay.
Oh,
that doesn't run in the genes. It's useful to know that.
It really is comforting to know
that. Yes. Very good news. And this is what you got. You guys obviously do all kinds of tests in these laboratories, but you're in marketing them.
I'm currently in the marketing segment. I deal with delivering of the customer service and actually experience. So I try my best to actually manage any complaints, you know, any bad perception that anyone can have about the company.
Anyone called you and go, "I'm still bleeding from the blood test"?
They actually do, funny enough.
Oh my gosh.
You'll be very surprised.
I was driving home and fainted.
Kind of complaints that you get.
Hemophiliac or anemic.
Yeah.
Or there were no cookies afterwards.
I didn't get a cookie.
Or there was no parking, as if we really deal with parking.
Yeah, as if that's your main job. All right, and you have a growing bike spares shop.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to
do.
Yeah.
So you started your own little business.
Yeah. It's me and a couple of friends that we go around, but it's actually two of us who are currently headlining it.
Nice.
We're trying our best. I'm actually wearing, and I brought a couple of goodies for you guys, t-shirts.
You're wearing your own merchandise.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, trying my best to do
well,
that.
Well, good
now
for you.
You've impressed,
right,
Ben.
So let's give your business.
He was here at 6. I was already impressed. Functionality is one of the rarest and most fantastic qualities of a human being.
Yeah. My business partner, Rena, always says, what's rule number one of success?
Show up.
Yeah. Right. Now, yeah. So you get to plug your business. Go ahead and if people need to have their bikes repaired, they can come to you.
That's 100%. We are on Facebook at 626 Garage.
Right.
Also on Instagram, we are there. They can talk to me at any point in time.
Is this motorbikes or bicycles?
Motorbikes, that's okay. To be correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So, MotoGP is where you want to be eventually, but 626 is the garage.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and you can come along, and then they will fix your bike up properly.
Where are you based?
We're on the West Rand, around Fontaine, Krugersdorp side.
Ah, crap! It's just too far for me.
We also travel. We can manage to hook anything.
Ben's nervous about the West Rand. He had bad experiences with poor whites and that.
No, it's just far.
And women with bricks in their bags.
Yes. Who was it who told us that?
Me.
Marianne Mole.
My business partner and friend, Marianne. Oh, yeah, she's in the pool league, and she was told,
it's not that bad,
keep a brick in your bag so you can murder other chicks if they start with you.
I haven't experienced that side of it. We've also in the business.
So you guys are on the West Rand. It's called 626 Garage. Look them up, and you promise you'll look after them.
Yeah, thank you very much for that exposure, Gareth.
And some of the highlights that Unati's enjoyed on this show, Somizi, Harry Sideropoulos, Vuzi Tembekwayo. Okay,
yeah,
and you listen to Timothy Maurice's podcast.
Yeah, I
well.
Do. I'm quite an avid listener of Timothy.
All right, well, you're very welcome this morning.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Sometimes we get the people who make this whole thing work to come and join us in studio.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
So here's, you better enjoy it, because according to Leanne, NASA have found out that there's a giant golden asteroid that could make everyone on Earth a billionaire, and then you won't have to work anymore.
When I first saw this headline, I thought, oh no, doomsday, it's headed for Earth, it's going to kill us. No, it's a really good news story about an asteroid.
Yes.
It is made of metal.
Yes.
It is made of platinum,
gold, iron,
nickel. It's loaded with gold.
Is it going to be a feeding frenzy, though, as people try to grab hold of it for themselves?
Well, that's what's happening. It's called Psyche 16.
Okay.
Nestled between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, made out of solid metal. It contains enough gold to make everybody on Earth a billionaire. So the metals making up Psyche.
But if everyone's a billionaire, then aren't we all poor again?
That's exactly what's going to happen. So the metals are worth a gargantuan $10,000 quadrillion.
Bullshit. Oh, let's get it anyway.
People who extrapolate this crap, that's bullshit.
That means that if we carried it back to Earth, Ben, it would destroy commodity prices and cause the world economy worth $75.5 trillion to collapse. So we've known about Psyche 16 for a while, but its potential to cause havoc on Earth was recently touched upon by a veteran miner. His name is Scott Moore.
Normally when we hear about an asteroid making Earth dangerous creating a dangerous environment here for us, it's usually because they're heading towards us to crash into
us. A physical smash.
This one's just hanging in the asteroid belt.
Exactly.
Now they might pull it here.
So NASA's launching a mission to probe this asteroid in summer 2022, which is 3 years, 2.5 years to go.
You know why, right?
Why?
Why now?
I've seen a tremendous amount of gold in the asteroid belt. It's going to be amazing. You know, my entire apartment is covered in gold.
Oh,
I love gold. I'm going to mine this asteroid, and it's called Psyche. I love it.
So the Discovery mission, as it's being dubbed, the probe, or the mission rather, will only arrive at Psyche 16 around 2026. So that's when we'll really know. But yeah, it could wipe out our entire global economy.
Well, we have all the gold we ever needed.
But apparently they're just taking the trip for scientific purposes. They aren't planning on conducting any mining. It's believed that Psyche 16 is the survivor of violent hit-and-run collisions between planets, which were common when the solar system was forming.
All right. Well, listen, at least we know there's some gold out there. Maybe it'll stop people from zama-zamering.
Those will be the new zama-zamas, astronauts.
Imagine.
That's it. We'll space mining companies. Yeah, right. And there are two in particular that are backed by big-name celebrities. Yes. They're gearing up for a gold rush for this exact asteroid.
Fair enough.
Deep Space Industries and Planetary Resources.
If you can afford a shuttle to go out there with like some sort of pile driver, and you can just cut yourself off like 20 kilograms. Cool.
I imagine if gold was just every day. Like you could just buy it for the price of stainless steel.
Yeah. Like knives and forks from Checkers.
The only reason that gold is a precious metal and that we consider it precious is first of all because it's rare. Second of all, because it's yellow in color. It's the only metal that's yellow.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there's really no other reason.
It's people and perception that have put a value on it.
Correct. So if we used gold for everything, remember, it is also a good conductor of electricity, so they use it in components in,
Very good practical uses.
Electrical.
Yeah, like, you know, microchips and things like that. Very good conductor. Right. Good conductor, it's malleable, so you can fashion it into things easily. And it doesn't corrode. That's another reason we like gold, is it doesn't really react. Like other metals tarnish very easily. If you look at how silver tarnishes or all the others, they tend to they oxidize.
Which is why you want a gold grill.
Well, yes.
And not silver.
But imagine if gold was so... and it has a low melting point, but imagine if it was so readily available that all your cutlery, all the metal in your fittings in your house was made of gold because everybody's got it. Wouldn't be a big deal.
We'd all live like Trump Towers.
Yeah, we'd just melt down Tutankhamun's mask and make a engine out of it. Wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
Or he'd be rolling over in his tomb.
Like your hammer and screws would be made out of gold.
Yeah, and if they just mined it at some asteroid off planet, we wouldn't even have to have big holes in the earth and... You know, people going dangerously into underground tunnels. Because that's kind of the story of South Africa, certainly of Joburg.
Yeah.
This whole city exists because of gold.
Egoli.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. All right, give us some more NASA news.
Gosh. So we said what? They'll be there in 2026.
So that's in 7 years.
Yeah. The same time. So this is another mission called Dragonfly. Mm-hmm. It's a New Frontiers mission.
Yes.
And it's going off to explore Saturn's largest moon, Titan.
Yes.
And Dragonfly is a golf cart-sized drone with four propellers.
Well, don't let Ben drive it.
And it'll embark on an eight-year mission in 2026 to Titan.
Ben drives these golf carts straight into sand ditches.
He's almost killed people.
Kills old men.
Yeah, look, guys, I do lots of things. Eventually, you're going to crash things. You do lots of
them.
Imagine
if we put Ben on this Dragonfly and sent him off to pilot the mission to Titan.
Yeah, that'd be great now.
And why do we want to go to Titan?
Yeah, why?
People are looking for, scientists are looking for clues on human origins there.
Ooh. Imagine if we come from there and we just placed ourselves on Earth because it seemed like the best place to be.
Titan is, unlike any other place in the solar system, it is the most comparable to early Earth.
Early Earth?
Yeah.
But it's really cold.
And it's got a really thick gaseous lining of gas around it.
Gaseous lining of gas.
Let's just
huh?
run over that sure description that? Again.
Are you sure?
It's got a lot of gas. The atmosphere is 100 miles thick.
Wow.
So that's a lot of gas.
Okay. Ooh. So what they're saying then is that it is protected from space, and it can have an atmosphere, so things can bake and grow and form in that atmosphere. All right.
And they're looking for chemical signatures of past or even present life.
All right. Titan, huh?
So much happening with NASA this week.
Okay, well, that's very exciting. I like these stories. This makes me hopeful about the future. All right, other stories that are going on in the news. Apparently, we spoke about this just yesterday. Angela Merkel's been shaking like a, Ben says, a shitting dog. While she was singing the anthem the other day, and then she said, "Nein, ich trinke Wasser," and then she felt better when she had some water.
Mm.
But she's apparently done it again.
Yeah, she's done it again, and this time she was given a glass of water and she didn't drink it.
She's obviously in bad physical health.
Well, look,
she's denying
it. She's 64.
Yeah.
She's been working really long days for 14 years,
mm-hmm.
because remember, she became Chancellor in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
That's not healthy for anyone.
No, to become Kanzler at that age.
Yes. Yeah. Also, she's in Europe where it's like hell at the moment, heat-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the media is going absolutely mad about it.
Angela likes it cold. She does not like it hot.
And they're like, oh my God, this, if she's ill, yeah. Germany and the rest of Europe is they're facing ruined. A crisis.
Yes.
What an inopportune moment. Shame. Maybe so it's like...
We don't know why she's shaking?
No. Maybe it could be a blood sugar thing. I'm not sure. But media is just like falling apart at this.
Well, because it's suspicious and she just isn't handling it directly. You can't say it was dehydration.
Poor Angela.
Yeah.
It's not just Boris Johnson giving her anxiety every time she sees Boris.
She goes, oh no, not that asshole again.
Because it probably looks like the clown interfered with her as a kid.
All we know how many people have stuffed up their national anthems. And, you know, she was shaking while the military was singing the national anthem. So what if she was feeling that pressure, you know?
Well, I love the way the article ends. It says, German politics is shaken by rumors of the Chancellor's health, but it is not stirred.
That's funny. You know where this anthem comes from?
Germany.
Yes, obviously. God.
I knew really. That one.
You're so
gold
brilliant.
Gold star for you, Leanne.
It's called Gott erhalte Franz der Kaiser.
Which means my over-the-shoulder boulder holders have broken.
No, so it's originally the anthem of the Austrian Empire. That was the first place it was used.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So they stole
it. And Franz der Kaiser is Kaiser Franz. It's the Emperor of Austria. So this was originally his song. So the original lyrics are Gott erhalte Franz den Kaiser, unseren guter Kaiser Franz.
Sounds impressive.
Lange liebe Franz den Kaiser. Unser guten Kaiser Franz. And then it goes into something about like how great it is to be Austrian. But then the Germans nabbed it and now it's their anthem.
How great it is to be German.
And they just replaced.
Nice? Yes, because once the German anthem used to be God Save the King, which is now stolen by the British.
Well,
God Save the Queen.
The British royal family German links are pretty obvious.
Of course, well, you know that their real surname is Schleswig-Holstein, Glücksburg, yeah. Augsburg. Oldenburg.
Koftenstein.
Yeah. I mean, the Queen, Sachs-Coburg-Gotha is the Queen's actual surname.
Yeah. I mean, like when Harry when Harry went to the Halloween party, he wasn't dressed as a Nazi. He was dressed as a relative.
Well, yes. I mean, listen, this is a big Benjamin. Part of the controversy around Prince Philip in the 1940s and 50s when he just married the Queen, was that he had two brothers-in-law who were Nazis.
Exactly.
His sisters married Nazis. And he went to the funeral of one of the sisters, and he was basically in the behind the hearse with the three Nazis.
And here people have been freaking out because Harry married someone half black.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was more because she was from Suits.
No, it's about having baby Javante.
You know what they, you know what Philip said when they said to him, "What are you doing? You're marching with Nazis." He's like, "Kind of problem."
Aye.
Yeah, poor Philip had to be dressed up like a Greek gigolo just to kind of like get his street cred back.
Right, exactly. So there's some interesting stuff.
Hey, Philip, go be a sailor and put olive oil in your chest. We've got to try and get this Nazis out.
A few messages that are coming through here. First of all, one for Unati. See, you've been here like 5 minutes and there's already messaging for you.
Wow, how's it going to speak?
This is from Craig in Cape Town. He says, can you get Think Bike in to talk about bike road users' safety? I'm sure this is something Ben also feels quite strongly about. And Gugu. Road user safety for all, including pedestrians. Stupid drivers of cars not giving space for pedestrians to cross the road and for bikes. cool having the motorbike guy on Cliff Central. Just ask Unati about bike safety. You want to throw anything in?
Yeah, I want to throw something in. I actually concur to what he just said. You know, it's actually what I always say. Being the only child to my mom, I remember when I wanted to get a bike, she was like
freaked out.
Exactly. She's a nurse.
So I just want to become
one of the one donors that we have in the hospital. She's going to donate all of your samples. Yeah, and
you're going to basically be an organ donor.
Yeah, 100%. So yeah, I think it's more of a thing that he said, you know, it's more of the kind of car guys. I think Ben can agree to this when it comes to safety with bikes. I actually believe that it's more of the car guys that are more dangerous to us than ourselves.
Mm.
Sure.
And the ignorance that
but
people
we don't
have.
See you guys. This is the problem.
It's because you're not looking, Leanne.
Sneak
just
up.
Not looking.
Listen, people aren't looking. This is a big problem. People are on their phones the
I'm
whole time.
I'm just looking 100%. At the taxis changing lanes in front of me.
I mean, our slogan is loud pipes and fast bikes. One of the reasons being loud pipes is because the louder you are, you know, the better the chances of being seen before you actually get to hit the bike.
But I will say those pricks with the loud pipes that go up and down roads with restaurants.
Those are the ones.
They can also suck a dick, though.
Yeah.
Look, like, I was waiting for the beat.
Generally, I stay away from Parkhurst for that reason. You're on one of those restaurants that are fleecing you for whatever they're serving you.
Yeah.
But then some dickhead in a Harley.
Yeah, you miss out on important parts of the conversation.
It's just,
I mean, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine in Parkhurst when one of those bikes went by. And she started off saying, and then it was Tuesday, blah, 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 and then the bike came. And as she finished, she said, and that's how I fell pregnant.
No.
Oh.
And I'd missed everything because of the stupid bike. It certainly wasn't like that.
It definitely wasn't like that. It's more of a scooter.
A stutut.
It's stutut.
Loud pipes and fast bikes. The beat is about to drop. I'm pretty sure those are lyrics of like a dubstep song somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm scared of bikes. I've had the fear of God put into me by my parents when I was younger. They said the two things you're never going to do while we're alive. One is ride a bike, and two is get a piercing. Luckily, I never wanted a piercing, so that didn't really bother me.
So heroin was fine.
Heroin was fine. Oh, my parents said, if you want heroin, just do it at home.
But for God's sake, don't pierce yourself.
And don't ride a bike.
Oh, those glory days of heroin.
I was looking at my baby album. My mum asked for it out of the blue yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And I said, is it the one that was pink but that's now faded after being 42 years old? She said, yes, that's the one.
Did you pull it out and find some really funny pictures of yourself?
Yeah, and all the pictures have gone like orangey pink.
God, so old.
But there I was in most of the pictures out in the broad daylight with 12 o'clock sun.
Yeah, no.
With no sunblock.
No.
Chocolate, eating a lot of chocolate.
Yeah.
In one photo, I had my bikini top above my boobs. No one cared.
Mm. But you were a baby.
Yeah, but...
Did you already have big breasts as a baby?
Yeah, no, I did have boobs already. I was born with boobs.
Good for you.
The one picture says Leanne sitting nicely on her urn at 3 months, and I already had boobs.
Wow. Amazing. Those boobs...
But how we were just left in these prams next to the white cotton nappies that were drying in the sun.
Yeah.
Just to get some sun with no sunblock.
Oh, you know what? The Bill Maher made fun of kids who grow up with all these peanut allergies and everything because they're so protected, but their parents don't never leave them outside and they never actually have any germs in their environment.
Mm.
I mean, we were kind of like left to our own devices. You could wander around the garden and fall in the pool or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my mom said.
When crows and she, your parents would be, oh, where's Leanne?
Yeah, she saw the picture of me in my walking ring.
Yeah. Hyenas could come and pull you out of your crib and take you into the forest.
Ask Ben.
And she said, you know how many times you had an egg on your head because you'd fallen out the back door of the kitchen in your walking ring? And we were like, oh, where's Leanne? Oh, there she is. She's fallen over again.
I remember I had a bicycle crash. It wasn't even a motorbike crash. I was about 7 or 8 years old. And my friend and I, we rode into each other on our bikes.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't looking and we were busy pointing at stuff And I was concussed. I had to be rushed to hospital.
Mm. I don't know if my mom would have bothered with that.
Well, my parents...
Just a waste of time.
No, don't get me wrong. I mean, I had to be lying down for about 3 hours and just kept on falling asleep every time they were talking to me and they realized something was wrong. Otherwise, they would have just left me.
There's a program, there's a series on DSTV called The Kids Are All Right.
Yeah.
And it's based in the 70s, like 1972.
Oh, yes.
With this Catholic family... And they
have like 8 or 9 sons,
like
or 10
gingerhead boys.
Oy.
And just the way you know, if someone fell off the roof, it was, did you damage
the roof?
The roof, or did you damage the tiles on the way down?
It wasn't about you.
And then cut to 2019, where now the World Health Organization is recognizing video game addiction as a legitimate thing. It's an addiction. You can't. You just have to help these Fortnite players.
Yeah, that's going to be great.
I mean, you guys were falling off things, breaking bones, and you had to dust your shoulders off. And then here now, just spending a couple of hours in front of a screen is something to worry
about. I'd get onto my bicycle that had back brakes and a little bell in a basket, and I'd go, bye, Mom. There's a fire in Ormondi Drive. I'm gonna go help them put it out. She'd go, bye. And we'd get buckets of water and put out the felt fires ourselves.
That's how you spent your afternoon.
Sure, you put out a fire. That was exciting.
I'd put a map book into my basket and we'd go off until sunset.
And you wouldn't come back, and there were no cell phones. Your mom couldn't call you.
She had no idea where we were. No idea.
No, you'd be fine. We had we grew up in this big, there was a dam and there was all this felt, and we would build like forts, and it was fun. We'd be out there all day, my brother and I and our friends, and
building good immune systems.
Yeah, and we'd go home when it was dark. We'd know, the sun's about to go down. We better get home, otherwise we're going to get shat on or given a smack.
And we would get a hiding.
Yeah.
I wasn't even allowed right at the bottom of our garden. It's like, no, you can't play there.
Things
Who
changed.
Knows what's down there? Monkeys might come and throw fruit at you or
swings.
Something.
We built swings in the trees. We had this enormous plane tree. It felt to me like it was skyscraper high. And we had this swing in it that we would just throw a rope, one of those nylon ropes, over a branch. You'd have a weight tied to it, and you'd throw it over the branch, and you'd tie it. And you'd swing on this thing from the top of like almost like another tree, like a stump or whatever. You'd go fast, man. And this thing would snap sometimes, and you'd come tumbling down. And
my knees were permanently open and raw in my hands from falling from roller skating.
And just like that time at the strip club.
But wouldn't you all say that's like one of the best memories that you have as a child?
I mean,
you don't want to replace that with anything else. Nothing virtual is going to ever come to that.
You can have your Fortnite. I'll do this.
You see, I think I know where the tipping point was compared to now. I seem very basic as a human being, because when I started primary school, grade one or grade two, we had monkey gymnastics, which is an extramural activity.
You're not allowed
activity.
To say that anymore.
No.
Oh, my God. But it was Penny Sparrow, your teacher?
No.
Jesus Christ.
There's this extramural activity.
Somebody call the Human Rights Commission. Yes. You hear what just got said here? Oh, we're going to have to cut this out of the podcast.
Monkey gymnastics, and we went out into...
Where's the beep when you need it?
Stop saying this. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
Oh, shit, there come the Human Rights Commission.
But we would go to this hall after school, and it was just the entire floor was sponges.
And because you might hurt yourself.
Absolutely. And then you'd build these plastic structures, and you'd learn how to swing and climb, because heaven forbid you go out and use a normal tree. Like, I never climbed a tree.
No.
Oh, my word.
Oh my.
We lived in trees.
No. I climbed trees until the branches were so thin that the whole thing was waving in the wind at the top.
Goodbye, miss me.
I climbed a tree, and then I fell and broke my arm.
Yeah, we did.
Ben, that was last year.
But that was what happened.
This is when you were trying to spy on Daniela from the poop toilet.
The closest I got to breaking my leg is dancing to Britney Spears.
Yeah, did you ever take a shit outside?
Excuse me? What the prehistoric man are you talking about?
Why not? Never.
Have you never taken a shit outside?
Never done a boss cut.
You never had a bossy?
I feel like I'm being judged now.
Did you ever walk around without shoes on?
Yeah. Not that extreme.
Where there were thorns?
No.
Yeah, I remember having a lot of tetanus injections.
Yeah.
Splinters being taken out, dog bites, mauled by a Doberman. Oh. Yeah.
Oh, this is great. All right, so there we go. And look what you've done with your one message about bike safety. Look where we're going. Wow. All right, then this is cool. This is Lee. Lee says, I was born in 88. My whole life, I was in love with the 80s. My 21st theme was crazy 80s. My surprise bachelorette was 80s themed. I yearn for George Michael and Club Tropicana videos and New Order and the German band that sang 99 Balloons. 99 Luftballons. That's also Angela Merkel's favorite song, by the way.
When she's Nena. Shaking.
Nena is the band. Remember?
You and I in a little toy store, grab a bag of balloons with the money we got.
Remember that song?
I do.
But they did the original version, which is all in German.
Yeah.
And Bread. Don't get me started on the guitar man. Amazing reminiscence.
I look into the morning mirror. Boom, boom, boom.
A lot of nostalgia this morning.
If you guys are listening to bands called Bread, then I shouldn't be judged for driving and listening to Pink.
Yes, you can't be judged
Bread,
for that. You will be.
Bread's a bit older than I can recall. But my dad used to.
Yeah, it was like what my mom.
My dad listened to Bread, but that was before my time. This message comes from somebody who says, when we swam on hot days, which was hardly even a swimming pool, it was like puddles and things, we never got towels. We were told to go and dry out in the sun.
Don't waste the towels.
Someone says, since we moved to the UK 5 years ago, I've not used my phone while driving once, and I've not seen one bike without a license plate. Drinking and driving is not an issue here, and trucks are not falling apart on the highway. For all these offences, you will go to jail. That is why the roads here are some of the safest in the world. But the British still don't know how to braai. That's from Duncan.
See, that's where it all falls down.
Right. Ali from Boxburg says, wow, I'm enjoying Unati in the studio. Great knowledge, and I see him reaching great heights. You should have him on the show more often.
Thank you so much for that. Yeah.
No, don't get carried away.
Yeah.
My parents allowed us to play in the swimming pool. My sister was 3, and she fell in. Nobody was around. I was 5, so I jumped in and dragged her out by the hair. I never told my parents.
What word?
Riet in Cape Town. Well, you're both alive.
Yeah, we do like backflips into the pool and you'd hit your head and then not tell your mom that you had an egg on the back of your head.
Can I share a quick story about a friend of mine?
Yeah.
He says this one time they were actually praying around the table and the candle was on. Yeah. Night prayer of some sort of vigil for me. And his sister's hair caught fire whilst they were praying. And he couldn't scream out to his dad whilst he's praying that she's on fire. So he kept on actually blowing air across the table until she felt the fire in her head.
Oh, yeah.
That's my own experience.
Talk about holy smokes. Thank you. I'll take a bow.
Then there's someone else who says that they're desperate for the Friday song.
Was it that yum 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 dear Bacardi?
That Friday song. You want that?
I've forgotten about that.
All right, only because you
if
asked.
I remember it.
Oh, so nicely.
You can. You know the words. It's in perfect English.
Yum 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 dear Bacardi ram ding fatoi ni 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 yo ya di Bacardi ram ding fatoi.
Fantastic. All right, I hope that's what you were looking for. Now we've embarrassed ourselves. What else is in the news?
Well, a pregnant woman in Alabama, and you know when you start a story off with Alabama, it's gonna be rocky.
A pregnant woman in Alabama.
She was shot in the stomach by someone, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Police charged her for her fetus's death. Okay. So this woman has been...
It's a real story. I saw this headline and I just thought that's got to be some sort of sick, weird joke.
No, what it's true. She's been arrested and charged with manslaughter over the fatal shooting of her unborn child.
Oh, boy.
But she didn't fire the gun that ended her pregnancy. So reproductive health advocates are worrying that those charges will now mean a whole lot more for women in a state where abortion has been severely restricted and fetuses have been given legal standing. So the mother was indicted by a grand jury with manslaughter. Stems from an altercation outside of a Dollar General or a store when she and a 23-year-old woman allegedly fought about the unborn baby's father. So they filed manslaughter charges against the shooter, but the charge was later dismissed and transferred to the woman who had the baby.
Sure.
So as a tweet about the story said... She was shot in the stomach during a fight and indicted for manslaughter. Fetal personhood is here. So this is the new order of societal priority in Alabama.
Okay.
Number one, men.
Okay.
Number two, fetuses.
Right.
Number three, property.
And then women.
Then women, and then pregnant people.
That's not the right way to go about things.
Doesn't sound good.
You know, if the Titanic's going down,
yeah,
the pregnant woman gets the first boat.
Yeah.
Then the other women. Then the prop. No, then the men. Then the property.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
So they've ruled that she put her unborn baby in harm's way, and so it's her responsibility.
Oh, my God. What's going on with these southern states? They really are backward. They really got to... We got to protect the unborn baby ahead of everything else.
It's called fetal personhood.
Good Lord.
And all Alabama lawmakers are embracing it.
All right. Someone says, I'm having the greatest start to my Friday. It's so great. I love you all. The best Lee in Cape Town. There's a different Lee now.
So many Lees
so many
in Cape
Lees
Town.
This morning. Huh? How's that? And Carl says, thanks for playing the Friday song. I sing it with my 2.5-year-old daughter. She loves it. Well, she can speak really well if she can sing that song.
Yeah, it's advanced
English.
I agree.
It's High Valyrian
from
Game of Thrones. All right. George Meany's here.
How's it, Gareth?
George, how are you?
Good, and you?
Excellent.
You know, the funny thing is, that story, my wife and I had a conversation before the birth of Logan.
Yeah.
And it was a serious conversation.
Logan's not Wolverine, it's their child.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not Wolverine. She acts like freaking Wolverine nowadays.
Yeah. All right.
We had this conversation. What happens if there's a complication?
Yeah.
Who gets saved?
The mom or the child.
The mom or the child.
You had to have that conversation?
We had that
That's
conversation.
That's a very serious conversation.
Who gets saved?
So was she okay with the fact that you'd choose the child?
No, I was okay with the fact of choosing her. and my argument was, I have no relationship with the child.
That's right. It's good point.
Yeah.
And so you can try and have another child.
And you can have another child.
Yes. You can't have another her.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or adopt someone else's kid if she can't have another one. You know?
You have to think about the afterwards, and you're bringing up a child on your own.
Yeah, that too. That's freaking hard.
It's a real relationship breaker if you go the other way, though. Huh?
Yeah.
You know, it's all about the kids. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Not meant to be.
But a lot of women will say that, especially when they're in that situation.
Yeah.
Well, from the medical series as I watch.
George, we had an interesting email earlier about Unati tried to answer it as well, but maybe you've got some input there too. South Africa is not great with bike safety, right? I mean, most people are not aware of motorbikes. They don't make space for them. Motorbikes themselves are sometimes irresponsible, but it's usually car drivers who are the problem, right?
Yeah. I on my commute to work every morning, I'm flabbergasted at how disrespectful car drivers are to bike riders. So I think the blame lies with the motorists. You know, I veer out of the way. People seem to not like other people getting ahead. And when you're
on a
motorbike,
a point.
You're getting ahead.
You know what it is?
That's just resentment. And it carries across in all ways. If someone has a nicer pair of shoes than you, you resent them.
Yeah.
Like, instead of being impressed by somebody who is able to do something that you can't, or get ahead of you or whatever, we have such resentment in this country.
It's like when someone in a fancy car and faster car passes you and you're like, oh, poopball.
I hate you. It's like people don't like the sun shining on other people, and it plays out in the motorbike situation where they don't want the guy to get to work first. Stupid.
You can weave through the traffic and get there before me. Screw you.
Yeah. But also, isn't he more than likely breaking the speed limit?
No, really, not all the time.
I mean, when I'm driving to work on the highway, I'm doing maybe 90, 100 k's an hour. The bike's coming past me at maybe 20 or 30 k's an hour faster, which is not breaking the speed limit. If they are breaking the speed limit, then, you know, stuff that. They should be caught. But I don't think so. It doesn't feel like they're being reckless, most of them.
No, I think they have to be very vigilant. And, you know, the one thing you know for sure about a bike rider is that they're not busy on their phone.
Well, 100%.
Because they can't.
We can't. You actually have to have all your senses up when you're riding a bike. I mean, any mistake could be fatal and critical.
And what about a bike lane?
There isn't one, technically, that I know of in SA.
I don't think, I mean, around the world, there's no motorbike lanes. There's bicycle lanes, yeah, but bicycle, yeah. There's no motorbike lanes. And not I, those I mean, people
are it would just be another lane for taxis to take over.
Yeah, true.
Bicycles. All right. So George is here to tell us a little bit about what's going on in the world of motoring. We do this every week with him, and we check in on some stories that I think you'll find interesting. And of course, if you don't get your fill of George here, you can always listen to Auto Central, which is every Monday between 9 and 10.
Yes, and the show's changing slightly. We're trying to make it more more interesting and punchy. So
if you haven't tried it before, this is a good time to start.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right here on Cliff Central Studios is Auto Central on a fortnightly Monday morning, that's 9 a.m. Right.
So we do a new show every second week, but there's one every week.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, you're gonna be wondering what my last story is, but I'm gonna make you wait. It's that story is specifically for Gareth and Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
But the first story is the petrol price might drop by almost R1 next month.
You've heard about this in the news. This is good.
Yes. So
usually you bring us bad news.
Exactly. It's time for good news. Mm-hmm. The petrol price might drop by almost R1 because the oil price is declining. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. It's a little bit set off by the negative effect of the rand, but good if it comes down by R1.
Cool. We'll take it.
We'll take it. We'll definitely take it.
Sure.
And then the UK car industry, because of Brexit, could lose £50,000 per minute.
You're joking.
As a result of border delays and import taxes. So they're lobbying to try and get a deal done so that Britain can export cars to the EU with no taxes, which could be as high as 10% on finished cars.
Well, how does this affect us at all?
No, it's actually good for us, to be honest.
Okay.
Because well, then, Europe will probably import more cars from us.
Right, then bring on the Brexit.
Bring on the Brexit. I think the deal should fall down.
Excellent. Excellent.
Brexcellent.
Brexcellent. Anything that's good for South Africa. We, you know, Trump has started this role.
Cool. Okay, what else is going on?
And then ice cream trucks. Remember the old ice cream truck noise?
It's like the pedo anthem.
Yeah, I bet you Sia doesn't know that sound.
Sia, do you know the ice cream truck sound?
Yes, it's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, of course
I think it is.
I saw an ice cream truck the other day. It was driven by a creepy looking
man. I always imagine
man.
Cockroaches coming out of the bottom of it.
Well, you hear here in the winter, you got to be suspicious.
You think so? Suspicious ice cream truck. Well, Nissan has produced an ice cream truck that is an electric vehicle. The biggest problem with producing an ice cream... there we go.
That one's a little different.
Yeah, it is. That's
That one's the one that Ben's talking about.
That's the special one that comes just for Ben.
That's the one Ben's talking about.
Look, Mommy, it's my truck.
Don't Mommy, speak to strangers.
Mommy, why is that man got his one hand in his lap and his other hand making my ice cream?
Ben, go and play with the man in the ice cream truck. Okay, Mommy.
Look, Ben's
Look
going,
you started,
Ben me. Is starting to, he's having the movie replay in his head and it's driving, it's
he
traumatizing.
He blocked it out for so long.
But Nissan has built an ice cream truck, or Nissan ice cream truck prototype that has solar panels on the roof and is an electric car. The biggest problem with an ice cream truck not being able to be an electric car is the fact that the traditional diesel engine has to run to keep the fridges going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So those poor kids are getting like carbon dioxide poisoning before they get their... their dairy fix.
Wow,
so Nissan is quite proud of themselves, and we're proud of them because they have solved the ice cream truck problem.
Yeah, we've needed an upgrade. That's
because
for sure.
The world was at odds how that was going to get solved.
I also thought the truck said roomies on it.
Roomies
for the longest time.
I thought you were going to say roofies.
that too. Depending which neighborhood the truck goes in.
And this one's just for Leanne and Gareth. And remember we spoke about the steering wheel as being the place that contains a lot of germs. Remember that conversation? Well, that's not the germiest spot in your car. Take a guess what you think the germiest spot is.
Maybe it's under your bum on the seat.
I think we spoke about under your bum before, and I think you brought it up too.
She's a little bit obsessed.
No, it won't be your gear lever because automatic cars
don't have a gear lever.
Yeah.
Is it all the crumbly bits in your...
The crumbly bits of what?
All the crumbly bits near your handbrake.
Well, it turns out that the driver's side floor mat contains the most microbes, bacteria, yeast, and mold.
Do you know why? Because we stand in dog poop on our way to the car. That's happened to me a load
yeast
of times.
Yeast and mold and microbes. Ah.
All from under our shoes.
So be careful if you accidentally drop your keys. You know,
please don't tell me this stuff.
Yeah, when you drop that M&M, don't bother.
There's no 5-second rule on your front mat.
Oh, it's gross. It's just so gross.
It's so gross. So anyway, the way to clean it is with baking soda. Let it stand with baking soda on it. Shake it out and for about half an hour and then vacuum it up. That's the way to get rid of those microbes.
I follow a YouTube channel where he cleans out these cars, but it's he undoes the seats and he screws out the railings and takes off the plastic off the doors and cleans the engine. It's so satisfying watching these things. But yeah, the stuff that's in people's carpets, it's not good.
See, I've got this friend who's now sending me emails every week of these gross things that they're discovering, like flies in hospitals who've developed this strain that can fight these super drugs, and now it carries these bacteria around. These flies are flying around with bacteria that have got super immunity. It's like an evil fly, an evil superhero fly.
It's like the fly from the movie.
I don't want to hear about this. Now every time I see a fly, I'm going, well, what if that one's a super fly?
A superhero fly.
Then you try and smash it, or worse, it lands on you or on your food, and you develop some new horrible disease. Oh, please don't send me these stories. And George, please don't bring these stories in again. It just it upsets me. On a Friday... Ugh, now I want to disinfect my whole car.
Paranoid.
I just want to put my whole car into baking soda.
You should have a pile of baking soda like
that.
All right. Here's some comments, George. I would never ride a bike. I'm too scared, but I always make way for them because I can see it as one of the few people not clogging up the roads. They're doing us a favor.
That's nice. Exactly.
Yeah, it's nice.
That's Carl. Yeah. Good point from Carl. Craig in Cape Town says, just also suck a dick to motorcyclists in the yellow lane. If you can't lane split, you need to drive behind a car. Well, Craig's very angry. And Robin says, that conversation is really unnecessary. We have it covered. All of those choices seldom happen. It's usually pretty clear. That's from Robin. She's the gynecologist. And I think she's talking about the situation where you have to choose between the mom and the baby, which George brought up earlier. In fact, racking my brain, and in my 20 years of delivering babies, I cannot think of one time I had to make a choice like that.
That's a good statistic.
I thought she was talking about the fungus on the
it
car
was
mat.
You know what? It was a real fear at the time. It was because, you know, my wife's not 21 and she's not 60 either. Because she's listening to this, I might just get in trouble when I get up.
Get into trouble.
So she's somewhere between 21 and 60. Now you're safe.
I'm safe. But it was a real conversation and a real fear. So maybe the gynecologist should actually have the statistical conversation about, you know what, the chances of that happening are low.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One less thing you have to worry about.
And then someone sent me a different ice cream song that I think we should play.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know if this is any better, but let's give it a try. And maybe this is the ice cream song that you knew when you were growing up.
It maybe still exists.
Let's see if this trauma... The way we'll know is if it traumatizes Ben.
Right, yes.
Let's see how this goes. Ben? Oh, this looks like gay porn.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it
says gay porn. Meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you an ice cream. I whip up my drumstick. That will make your eyes gleam. Lick it up quick before it melts on the floor. I got it. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. Give me some more. Okay, meet me at the ice cream truck. I'll buy you.
All right, so thanks for that one.
I can test on my luck. Goodness. You can play on my team. Let's do the banana split on the
from.
Got it.
Ooh.
From Andrew.
Bit of crotch grab in there. Yeah.
Andrew,
worried about your YouTube history, China.
Oh, you want to see a bad YouTube history? Look at Leanne's. She has to look up news stories that are just foul.
Yeah.
All right, so that's all we got time for this morning, but I did want to quickly address this because somebody said that they've had a problem with Leanne's biggest number that she brought up on the show the other day. And I sidetracked the story, apparently, by singing the Canada anthem, and we never got to hear the end of the story. So, Basically, this person who is Chris from the Arctic, he's actually in the Arctic Circle. Chris says, the best number is Graham's number, which is considered the biggest number ever used in constructive proof, and it knocks your 10 to the power of blah, blah, blah right out of the park. It's really, really big, can be denoted by just 3 with a whole bunch of arrows pointing up and then a 3. Although nobody can write down this number, we know the last digit is 7. Now that sounds unbelievable. Well, so look up Graham's number if you want to know.
Yeah. And then maybe there's a way I can, you can post this article, or I'll do it on my Twitter or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's really lengthy, and it's got a whole lot of theory. So that's another reason why I would not have gone through all of it. But it concludes by saying when the only way we're running out of numbers is in coding, but everything else can be displayed as an infinity. So we won't run out of numbers, just names for them. That's the only thing we'll run out of.
Very good. And then don't forget, if you're a critical thinker and you want to hear intelligent debate, in other words, not stupid conversations between me and Leanne, you can listen to our brand new series, which is called The Interchange. And it's definitely for you if you want to hear some really interesting discussions around the most relevant stories and the most relevant things in society. It's made possible by Absa and Simong, and this series calls in some of the best university debaters to critically debate and discuss controversial issues in South Africa and Africa as a whole. The latest episode asks the question, should business be driven just by profit, or does business have a bigger role to play in society? That's an interesting topic. You think about that, George?
I mean, my opinion is... just look at Amazon.com. They've never had a profit motive.
They've also never paid tax.
True, true.
So no, the point is really for businesses, sometimes their origin is in solving people's problems, right?
Exactly.
And businesses that just chase the profit.
Short-term thinkers.
Correct. So you can listen to The Interchange. Listen now at cliffcentral.com. You can get it on our app or wherever else you get your podcasts. That's all we got time for this morning. Let's finish it up with the un-news. And then we are calling it quits for this week. Next week, by the way, I'm here for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then I'm off to England for a little bit. I'm going to be there for a couple of days. So we'll be here for the normal shows Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And Gord did miss Ben last week, and he sent him a cannabis chocolate. Ben's going to try that after the show and then pass out on the sofa, as is his wont. Right, Ben? Isn't that the plan?
And then use the condom.
Always, yeah.
And then use the condom.
Use the condom for no reason. Yeah.
Yes, just for no reason. Put it on.
Going to put it on. So awkward. So don't be here at the Central Studios from 10 a.m. onwards.
Cape Town's ocean waters are so polluted that the fish being caught are so contaminated with antiretrovirals, antibiotics, and other chemicals. It's not great for restaurant owners, but it's quite handy for government clinics, who are now just dispensing hake fillets instead of the costly medicine to sick people. Steinhoff are demanding that Marcus Uster pays back the money, 870 million rand to be exact. Uster said he will pay, he's just going to make a quick trip to South America to sell some racehorses, redesign his face and get completely new fingerprints, and buy a house in an undisclosed place with no phone reception. And the government said, oh sure, no problem. Recent studies have shown that South African sports fans have major anxiety when the weekend arrives. What used to be a time of fun and celebration turned to horror, misery, and depression. It's got so bad that many South Africans are now putting off work just to stay in the office on Saturday and Sunday, so they don't have to watch sport. All right, that's all we got time for. Thank you, everybody. Have a good weekend, and blah, 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 blah. All right, cheers.
This is CliffCentral.com.